please, don't clap for me, clap for Jesus. Yay! And if you're going to clap for him properly. Come on. Let's give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. Clap your hands, oh you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. For indeed he has done great and marvelous things. Excellence and wonderful is his name. Yes, praise God. It's really good to be in God's presence again today, isn't it? And yes, I do believe I have a word from the Lord. And I was only saying it in jest yesterday. You know, and that, I know, has been confirmed even a few things which have happened, not only during the week, but even today. And as God would lead me, we'll see what he has to say to us. But I must say, I don't know about you, I know Pastor Brian has already alluded to this. Those of you who were here for the week of prayer and fasting, I believe we had a wonderful time. Yes. I believe it was a blessed time, you know. And I'm not just saying that just to hype it up or just to what have you, but I do believe that. And I want to use that really, therefore, as a stage to really encourage us all to be a people of prayer and fasting, because God hears and God moves. And I'm sure those who came during the week, whether it was just for one day, for 2 days, or for the whole week, I'm sure those who came were blessed. And we thank God for that time in his presence. Right, turn with me, please, to your Bible. We'll go straight into the Word of God. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 41. I'm going to read a few verses from there. Isaiah chapter 41, from verse 8 to 13. Isaiah 41, 8 to 13. Are we all there? Yeah, one thing I saw growing up as a young Christian is, you know, Bible reading, you always open your Bible and you read the Word of God, and because as you do that, something sticks in your mind. So it's not just that you listen to someone reading, but you're actually seeing it yourself, even as it's being read. And I do believe that there's merits and value in doing that. So that's why I encourage us to really open up Bible when it comes to Bible reading. Isaiah 41 from verse 8. But you, Israel, are my servants, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friends, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from his father's regions, and said to you, you are my servants. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hands. Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing. And those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contended with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Let me read verse 13 again. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. I hope today's message will be a message of encouragement, especially for us as we start another year. One thing I alluded to, I think it was a few weeks ago, is this, that when a new year starts, people are always anxious to know what the year holds for them. Is it going to be better than it was last year? Are things going to improve? You know, as they will probably say in the world, will my luck change? Will the sun shine on me? And it's interesting because Christians and unbelievers alike do that. We all want to know what the year holds in store for us. The difference between us, of course, and the people of the world is that we have our God with us. We have our God to turn to. We have our God to speak to tell us what's going on and how to instruct and lead us as the year goes ahead. The world might consult on all sorts of things, whether it's soothsayers or tarot cards or palm reading or all kinds of other things. Predictions which they make, which in most cases don't even come to pass anyway. But we know that we have someone, the never changing, the never failing God, who we can turn to, whom we can ask, who speaks to us, and therefore we can respond and react. We know what we're going to do. you know, those of you who were here last week would know about the massacre of Sister Debbie Brawls, and I believe Patrick mentioned that even during our week of prayer and fasting about the cake and the icing. And which is it that he wants? Do you want the cake, or do you just want the icing? Do you just want the small, I don't know, drops or crumbs? Or do you want really what God is giving you, the main thing? We want to hear what God is saying. Yeah. And we want to therefore do and react. If we need to change our position, God's told us to praise him. If we need to change our position as a result, we need to do that. If we need to make amends, then we need to do that. There's something about when we move from one season into another, we're listening and we're hearing what God is saying to us. And as we listen to it, it's not just that we listen to it, but we take it in and we say to ourselves, how does that change us? That's why it's so interesting when we start the year with a week of prayer and fasting. Because what we're doing is that we're starting with God. God, what are you saying to us? What do we want you to do? And we're praying, we're crying out to God for that. We might not know what's going to happen tomorrow or next month, but we know the one who holds our tomorrow, who holds our today, who holds the future, whose life we're in his hands. Yeah. And therefore what we do is that we commit ourselves safely and securely to him.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
So the message of encouragement this morning, science is up there, it's assurance of God's help. But what I believe the guys will put it up there soon. But what I want to do is to tell us to these people of God, let's start the year with God. And let's continue with God. And let's hold on to God. The passage that we've read, I want to break it down as God would lead me. And it should give us a clear picture of who we are, what God is doing in our lives, and even where God is leading us to. You see, it should give us this thing. Confidence, assurance, and trust in our God. The prophet starts off this passage when he says, you Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen. Now that should give us confidence, assurance, and trust in our God. It gives us confidence because we can rely on him. He is dependable. He will not disappoint. Amen?
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
That gives us confidence in our God. He is dependable. He will not let you down. Man will let you down. That is a guarantee. There's a song that we used to sing, stand up for Jesus. Then there's a verse there that says, the arm of flesh will fail you. It is a fact, people, man will disappoint you. For all their good intentions, for all their plans, for all their help which they can give, for what they want to do. But our God, he's not a disappointment. Our God is not unreliable. Our God is not unfaithful. He is the God who never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And therefore, people, that should give us confidence in our God. Not only should that give us confidence, it should give us an assurance. Some writer says, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. It gives us assurance because we have a promise from him. And his promises are yes and amen. God is not a God who makes a promise and then decides, you know what, actually I can't really do that. I made a mistake. Even when you look at, you know, Pastor Brian was speaking last week about the children of Israel. When you look at the children of Israel, you know what? God gave Abraham a promise. Yeah, that his descendants would fill the earth. He gave him a promise too that, yeah, your children will be slaves in Egypt, but I'll bring them out with the strong and mighty hands.
Yeah, yeah.
Did God not do it?
Yeah, he did.
There you go.
Yeah.
That gives us an assurance that this God that we serve, he gives us a promise and he will do it. He will not lie or repent because he is the all-powerful, faithful God. So it gives us confidence, it gives us assurance, and also gives us trust. Trust tells me this, you know what? God has my back. He's going to look after me. Therefore, whatever he says, I'm content in that. Whatever he says, he will do. Whatever he tells me to do, I will do it. Why? Because I know he's not going to let me down. I know he's not going to disappoint me. Jeremiah says, I know the thoughts I have towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil. If God has thoughts of good towards us, why shouldn't we trust him? If God does not have an evil plan for you in your life, why shouldn't you trust him? If all that God wants to do in your life this year, next year, the year after Jesus tarries, if all that he wants to do is something good in your life, why shouldn't you trust him? people of God, come and talk to me. Yes. That makes sense, isn't it?
Yes.
He's got my back. He wants to look after me. He wants to prosper me. He wants to help me. So why should I trust him? Even if at times I don't understand what he's doing, even if I don't understand the road where he's taking me. The Bible tells us about Abraham that he went where God told him. He didn't know where he was going, but he knew that God was leading him. He looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. He didn't know exactly how he was going. I'm sure if you had told Abraham, look, Abraham, this is all that would happen to you, it might have caused him to turn back or not to follow God. He didn't know, but one thing he did was that he put his trust in God. So when God told him to leave his father's house, he left.
Yeah.
When God told him to sacrifice his son, he sacrificed his son. When God told him to do whatever he did, Abraham did it because he trusted the God that he served. And he knew that this God had nothing but good for him.
Yeah.
People, if God has good for you,
yeah,
why shouldn't you and I trust him?
Yeah.
I believe with all my heart, and I'm not saying this flippantly or casually right now, people of God, so please hear me out. I'm not saying this to hype you up, so please hear me out. I believe with all my heart God wants to do awesome and great things in our lives this year. I do believe that with all my heart. Listen, I am not saying that to hype you up. I'm not saying that to excite you. I'm saying it because I believe it. I'm saying because I know God is going to, and I decree that is so in Jesus' name. I decree in your life right now, somebody, God is doing something awesome and great in your life this year. God is going to do something miraculous in your life this year. God is going to do something in your life that will astound the people around you this year in the name of Jesus. God is getting ready right now to help you, to lift you up, to prosper you, to move you on. For too long you have been in one place and God is moving you on and on and on in him in the name of Jesus. God is saying to you, look where you are, stand up, rise up. For too long you've been down there, I'm bringing you up. But you know what, people of God, we can clap, we can be excited by that, and praise God, so we should. But let's trust in him. Because it's one thing for us to hear this and be so excited, and then we go away, and then we try and pick up plan B. You know, I heard one preacher say one time, sometimes we come to church and we pray and we praise God. We're so excited. And then as soon as we leave church, we negate all that we have done.
Yeah.
Through our actions and through our deeds. It's nice to be excited.
Yeah.
It's nice, yes, to be challenged by God. But people, let me say this to you.
Yeah.
Let's trust in our God.
Yeah.
If we believe that God is doing great things in our lives, if we believe God is coming through for us, let us trust in him this year.
Yeah.
And as we read this passage, God is saying to us, look, fear not, I will help you.
Amen.
Who needs help from God?
Yeah.
Who needs help from God?
Yeah.
Well, God is saying, fear not, I will help you. Look at this passage. When it starts up in verse 8, you, Israel, my servants, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. Listen, you know what? We are descendants of Abraham by faith.
Yeah, we are.
You know that, don't you?
Yes.
You know that, people?
Yes.
Galatians chapter 3, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon us. The blessings of Abraham. Why? Because by faith we are children of Abraham. And God is saying, I have chosen you. Listen, I love that. You didn't choose God. God chose you.
That's right.
Before you even came to God, God had already decided, look, you know what? I'm going to bless you. I'm going to prosper you. I'm going to look after you. God has chosen to bless us. God has chosen to prosper us. God has chosen to call us to himself. God has chosen to say, look, you are my child. You are my son. You are my daughter. It wasn't Abraham who chose God. God chose, and we don't understand God. You know, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But he chose Abraham and said, through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. People, let that fill us with confidence. And please, let that sink in. God has chosen you. You are not a reject. You are not a tear away. You are not a cast away. God loves you.
The world might send their back on you and think that you are a reject. God does not think you are a reject. You are chosen of him. You're a child of the king. You whom I have taken, verse 9, from the ends of the earth and called from his farthest regions. Come on, some of us know here what we were like before we came to Christ. Some of you know how you were wallowing in sin before you came to him. Some of you know, not everyone here has lived a clean life, if that's the right word. I know not everyone here has lived in church all their life. And even people who live in church always sometimes go astray anyway. Not everyone here has lived a, quote, clean life. You know the things that you did before you came to Christ. Some of them, yeah, that you don't even want to talk about anymore, perhaps because you're so ashamed of them. But God says, I have called you. You who were wallowing in sin. You who were stuck in the pits. You who were doing those abominable things. I have called you. And that is why, people of God, when God calls us, when we're in his presence, we should not live in the past of our of sin and condemnation, because God has dealt with the past. That's what we tell people. God has dealt with the past. Your past might have been horrible. Your past might have been bad. You know what? But God has wiped the slate clean. It's like he's taking an eraser or whatever and just completely wiped it off. What people were seeing before was all the things you did. And then God just comes by his mercy, whoosh.
Yeah.
And it's all clean.
Amen.
If God has dealt with that, because listen, the Bible tells us that there is none that is righteous, no, not once. If God will mark iniquity, who will stand?
Yeah, that's true.
Listen, if God would mark iniquity, who would stand? Certainly not me.
Yeah, that's true.
But God has wiped it off. And then he says, you know what? From that farthest part of the world, from the pit where you were, I've brought you up.
Amen.
I've called you
to
myself. Then he says, fear not. It's interesting. Let me say this. When we read in God's words where God is telling people to fear not, yeah? It's because there's something waiting ahead of you. There's some challenge perhaps in front of you. Perhaps there's some obstacle waiting that you think might overwhelm you. There's some giants passing around that wants to, take the better of you. But what God is saying is this: I'm going to help you, give you victory over that opposition. God is saying, look, there may be opposition in your way right now. There may be an obstacle in your way right now. But he's saying, you know what? Don't look at the obstacle. Look at him.
Yeah.
In 1 Samuel chapter 17, the story we know so well, David and Goliath. You know why Saul and his men lost the plot? Because they were looking at Goliath instead of looking at God.
Yeah, that's true.
Simple. I say simple, but that's it. They were looking at the giants instead of looking at God. All it took was a young boy called David. A young man whom even the people are thinking, what can you do? He's a man of war, and you're just a small boy. Tiny boy. But this boy wasn't looking at the giants. He was looking at something higher and greater and better and stronger. And that is why, although the Israelites feared Goliath, David did not. And because he did not fear the giants, he was able to stand before him, make these bold statements, and cut off the head of the giants. God is saying, fear not. When Joshua, after Moses died, when Joshua was made the leader of the children of Israel, God spoke to him, I've spoken on this previously, from Joshua chapter 1, and told him not to be afraid. He had to cross the Jordan. He had to fight so many kings. He had to fight so many battles. But God told him not to be afraid. There were battles ahead of him, people, but he overcame every single one of them. And I want to tell you this. There may be battles that you face this year, but in Jesus' name, you will overcome every single one of them. Nothing will stand before you in the name of Jesus, because that is the word of God anyway. Nothing will stand before you, but the condition is this: fear not. When you see that obstacle in front of you, fear not. when you see that all things are going left, right, and center, not the way that they should, fear not.
Yeah.
What you then do is that you turn to God and He says, I will help you. You know, sometimes there's... I remember my wife and I one time, we went through a situation, we were praying, and things were not working. And I remember one time saying to my wife, the only prayer I'm going to pray is, Lord, just have mercy. Have your way, help us. I didn't know what else I could say, what else I could pray. I did not know what else I could say. And God came through. God came through. People, it works.
It does.
It works. This is, we're speaking the truth of His word. God comes through.
He does.
Whatever obstacle you face, Lord, please help me.
Yeah.
Tell God, speak His word back to Him. God, you are not a liar. You said in your word that you will help me. Come on, God, help me.
Yeah.
You said in your word, fear not. Okay, God, I'm not afraid. I'm not fearful. I'm facing that battle in the name of Jesus because it's your word, Lord. And you don't lie, you don't repent. That's what you said, that's what I believe.
Amen. Yeah, come on.
Speak His word back to Him.
Yeah.
Tell Him that's what He said. He says, fear not. Be not dismayed, for I am your God.
Amen.
When David fought the giants, he said that all Israel, all the world may know that there is a God in Israel. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
That the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel.
Yeah.
This community, this place needs to know the God we serve.
Yeah.
We tell them, look, it's not Allah, it's not Buddha, it's not Krishna, it's not whoever. It's the Lord God Almighty, the Lord of hosts, the commander of the heavenly armies. That is the God we serve. And He is our God. And if we serve such a mighty God, powerful God, awesome God, wonderful God, I am your God and I'm with you. You know what that means? If God is with you, you know what that means? Anyone who opposes you opposes God. You know that? Anyone who fights you fights God. That's why David said, when the Philistine was opposing Israel and the army, he said, who is this Philistine who will defy the armies of the living God?
That's right.
Woo!
Yeah.
David took it to another level.
Yes.
He took it completely to another level. You're not just fighting against Israel, you're fighting against God. How dare you do that? How dare you? Who can fight God and prevail?
No one.
Who can stand before our King and prevail?
No one.
Goliath tried it, and he was... His head was cut off. You tell any principality, any power, anyone, you fight against God, you're going to get your head cut off. And you'll be silenced. The birds of the air will feed on you. How dare anyone try and stand before our God? But that is the God that we serve. I am your God. And He says this, I will strengthen you. Who needs strength? Come on, who needs strength? We all need it. Listen, if you think you don't need strength, I'm sorry for you. We all need strength. Lord, you are my strength. You are the source of my strength. You are my, Lord, you are my everything. All I need, Lord, comes from you. And His promise is, listen, He will strengthen us. In the name of Jesus. I will uphold you. Someone here who has their head bowed down. God is going to uphold you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You've had your head bowed down. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You've had your head bowed down. Enough is enough. It's now time for that head to rise up.
Yeah.
It's now time for you to rise up in the power that God has for you.
Amen.
I will uphold you. Not I'm going to cast you down. No, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
Thank you, Lord.
The right hand of God speaks of His goodness, speaks of His grace, His mercy, His power, His ability. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Good and righteous is our God. And he's coming this morning to tell you and I of his love for us, that he will raise us up. And listen, you could say that to me what you want. Perhaps in your job that means promotion. Perhaps in your family that means peace. Perhaps in your community it means you doing something that God has called you to do. Perhaps spiritually it means that you're making progress in God. All I know is this: God will uphold you. And you know what? Because God upholds you, you will not see shame.
Amen.
Because God upholds you, you will not see shame. You see, again, because we're called by God, if you see shame, then that's shame on God. But God is saying this: I will uphold you.
Amen.
Somebody needs to receive that this morning. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
His word tells us this. Excuse me. Those who oppose you. Let's read verse 11. Just get some water before I do that. Verse 11. Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them, those who contended with you. Listen, that's not my word, okay? That's the word of God. I laugh because, yes, it sounds interesting, it sounds funny. Those who contended with you, you will seek them and you will not find them. They will perish because they will be as nothing. What it means is this: they will not stand in your way. Those who try and oppose you, those who try and thwart you, prevent you from doing what you need to. And listen, we don't pray for anyone to die. Hear me out this, people of God. And sometimes I hear some people pray, oh, may my enemy die in the name of Jesus. Listen. Don't pray for anyone to die. Your prayer should be that person opposing you, they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that person is not your enemy. It's the spirit behind them that is your enemy. It's the spirit which is confirming them, which is not of God, that is your enemy. So don't pray that they die. Please pray that they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and stop doing this nonsense which they're doing in Jesus' name.
That's right.
Jesus is saying this. But you know what? Having said that, there are times when people are opposing you, and because God is God, he does what he wants. He actually takes them away. He moves them from your presence. He's God. That's what he wants to do. But our prayer, Lord, is come through for me. Lord, save me. God, save me through this situation. And not, Lord, kill that person. No, absolutely not. But God does it the way he wants to. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Yes, sometimes I've heard about it. People have been opposing others. And that person, for whatever reason, has passed away. People have been opposing this, and then, for some reason, that person has been moved away, transferred, or whatever it is. God does it the way he wants to. What we just do is we trust in him and let him do it in his way, in his purpose, and in his time. In Jesus' name. But those who oppose you shall be as a non-existent thing. There is no opposition you face, people of God, that God cannot and will not overcome if you trust him. There's no obstacle that you face. Perhaps it's peace in your home. There are so many homes in this day and age which are lacking peace. So many children who talk to their parents anyhow. You sometimes hear about stories about children talking to their parents as if they're talking to their mates. In fact, they probably even talk to their mates, they look better than how they talk to their parents. No respect in the home. Yet the Bible says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be longer than the land which the Lord gives you, the first commandment with promise. Children are supposed to honor and love and respect their parents. It doesn't mean that they always agree with them. It doesn't mean sometimes that they're not unhappy with them. But children are called to respect parents. And so many times we know homes where there's no peace in the house. If that is what is lacking, if that is the enemy that you're facing, the lack of peace, God will deal with that in the name of Jesus. And he will restore peace. The Prince of Peace. He is our peace. He will bring peace to your home. If it's joy that you need, there's no joy in your heart anymore. There's no joy with you. There is joy in serving Jesus. There is joy in knowing him. The joy of the Lord is our strength. If it's joy that you need, the Lord will restore joy in the name of Jesus. If that's the opposition that we face, God will indeed deal with that. He says this, I, the Lord your God, will uphold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from where? From my bank balance? From my contacts? From the movers and shakers that I know of? From Krishna? From juju? From voodoo? Or from all kinds? Is that where your help comes from? People, we have no one else here to help us. We have no one else to help us, people of God. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen. And his promise is that he will help us.
Amen.
I will help you. Yeah. That is what he says. And throughout this year, our prayer therefore is this, that he will help us.
Amen.
Verse 16 of that passage. Let me read verse 16 and verse 20 of the same as I 41. It says this, and the joy of the Lord will fill you to overflowing. You will glory in the Holy One of Israel. Verse 20 of that chapter says, everyone will see this miracle and know. Understand that it is the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, who did it for you. See, that is the part that I love, people, that people will see what is happening in your life and they will know it is the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, who did it for you. My prayer is this to people, that God will do a work in your life. And people will look at it and say, you know what, this can only be God. One of the verses that we use when we're having a week of prayer and fasting was Acts chapter 4, verse 16. And I'm so grateful for the way how Sister Debbie dealt with this on Friday. Thank you very much, Sister Debbie. You actually said something which really, really struck me on that verse, Acts chapter 4, verse 16. This is when the apostles have performed the miracle. What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. The part that really struck me when Sister Debbie was speaking on Friday, we cannot deny it. Yes, a notable miracle was done. But even these people, these skeptics, these cynics, could not deny that God had done something in the life of this man. In Jesus' name, God will do something in your life this year that no one can deny.
Yeah.
That all people will be able to say is, you know what, this is God.
Yeah.
That will be the only conclusion that they can reach. The only reasonable conclusion that they can reach, say, this is God. Even if they don't believe in him, even if they don't trust him, they will look at this and say, you know what, this can only be God. It says it there, we cannot deny it.
No.
They were not happy with the apostles because the miracle had been done. Yeah, but we can't deny it. This is God.
Amen.
But we can't really say that. Yeah, but it's God.
Yeah.
God will do something in your life that people look and say, you know what, this is God.
Yeah.
And when God does that, what will therefore happen? That will draw people to him in the name of Jesus. People come and say, you know what, I want to know about that your God, as they say. That your Jesus, and your Jesus, as they call him, will therefore become their Jesus as well. Their God as well. That's what we want. We cannot deny it. He gives us word of comfort, people of God. Our God gives us word of comfort and reassurance. So our application is this, people of God, and I'm going to close right now. Going back to how I started, we have confidence, assurance, and trust in our God. Assurance that our God will help us this year. Assurance that our God will come through for us this year. Assurance that the victory is ours.
Yeah.
Assurance that every battle we face this year, whatever it is, we are overcomers. We are more than conquerors in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
People, let that be our encouragement as we go through this year. That whatever happens, whatever the highs and the lows, you are a conqueror, you are a victor. And you're going to stand up. Not sit down or bow down. You're going to stand victorious in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Are we a victorious people?
Yes.
Are we a triumphant people?
Yes.
Are we people who know our God?
Yes.
Let's rise our feet, please, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Our helper, my helper.
Yes.
My helper, our helper. He has come to us. He says, I will help you.
Yes.
It's an absolute, people of God. In a world where there are no absolutes. People don't know whether or not Brexit is going to happen. You know, even up to now. Is it going to happen? What's going to happen? How's it going to happen? We don't know. But I give you an absolute. God will help us. God will come through for us in the name of Jesus. My helper, our helper. Come on, call upon your helper right now. Say, Lord, help me. In this year, come on, commit yourself to him. We've just concluded a week of prayer and fasting. So come on, so we can pray. Let's pray. Let's pray, come on. Lord, my helper, help me. My helper, come through for me in the name of Jesus. Read his word back to him. Read his word back to him. Lord, you said in your word, fear not. So Lord, I will not fear in the name of Jesus. Those who oppose me will be like a non-existent thing. Lord, level like every mountain, every obstacle in my presence. Read his word back to him. In the name of Jesus. You said, Lord, that you will strengthen me. I receive strength now in the name of Jesus. Saying that he's called us from the farthest parts of the earth. Thank God that he's called you. Come on. Yeah. Say thank you. Thank you, Lord, that I'm your child. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. Thank him. Despite all the sin, despite all my previous load and junk and rubbish and all that, you still call me. Lord, thank you. You didn't cast me off, oh God. Even when the world runs me off, you didn't. So, Father, thank you. Acts 4, verse 16. Indeed, a noticeable miracle has been done. We cannot deny it. Say, Lord, do a miracle, a noticeable miracle in my life that no one can deny in the name of Jesus. Even if they don't want to, they're going to have to accept that he is God. Even if they don't like to say it, even if it hurts them to say it, they're going to say this is God. A noticeable miracle that cannot be denied will be done in our lives in the name of Jesus. Father, do it in our lives, I pray in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed, please, where we are, just with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, is there anyone here who doesn't know the Lord as their Lord and Savior? I said that we're saying God will help us. But God is saying, God is telling us to put our trust in him. Well, if there's someone who doesn't know the Lord right now, wants to put their trust in God. If that's you, just raise your hands where you are, please. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, you don't know him as your King, as your everything, just raise your hands where you are, if that's you. Nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to be embarrassed about. If you are raising your hand, please just raise it very clear so I can see. Is there anyone? You want to start the year with God. You want to start this year with God right now in the name of Jesus. You want to start the year with him. I want to pray for you, for everyone else. Then you pray for yourself and you say, Lord, as I start this year with you, I'm going to continue with you in the name of Jesus. No, no falling back, no drawing back in Jesus' name. We've prayed during the week about the church, about our families, about communities, and we seal that prayer, right, every prayer during last week, we seal it right now, the blood of Jesus. So shall it be as we pray, as we fasted, as we wait on you, O God. So shall it be in our lives in the name of Jesus. We will all make progress in the things of God. We and our children. We and our families in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for what you have done and what you continue to do. We move on in you this year. Your victory, in your power and your anointing. In Jesus' name I pray.
Somebody give God a mighty clap of praise. He has done great things. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Actually, just as Pastor Tolu was speaking, I just felt that the Lord is saying to us that there are some people here, you need to just commit your life to the Lord this year. And while your heads are bowed, perhaps you just want to say, Lord, I give myself to you this year. I just felt the Lord saying that to me. And there are some people here, perhaps you've just been in the background and you haven't been following the Lord like you should. The Spirit of God is saying right now, you can commit yourself to Him. Just between you and Him. Just tell Him, say, Lord, yeah, I'm giving you my all. I'm giving you my everything this year. But mean it, saints. Just mean it. Mean whatever you say to God right now. Lord, I'm committing myself. I choose to follow you, Lord.